The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 547. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
What's up, what's up?
All right, guys, we're back with another one. We'll see what happens with Chris and Adam. They didn't say they weren't going to be on, but... who knows with Adam? He might be doing TV Terminal, you know? And, you know.
Yeah, he might be in the TV Terminal.
Yeah. And Brett, you know, he may show up. He may not show up. We don't know. Oh, see? There's Chris. Perfect. Perfect.
Speak of the devil and he shall appear.
Right. We at least have one father, you know, so we're not fatherless here. good stuff. All right, man. Let's get into it. So, yeah, we didn't get too many questions this week. So, if you guys are watching us live and want us to answer a video game question, pop it into the chat. Either on YouTube or Twitch, we will see them both. But let's get into it. And I do want to give a like a star medal to Illustrated Dio. He asked us the most questions. Although, Dio, I hope you forgive me because a lot of your questions were kind of long. I just shortened them to get to the point, you know.
Dead.
Yeah. All right. First up here, this one's fun. Who is your favorite game developer at the moment? Not of all time, ooh, at the moment.
At the moment,
You gotta answer, Carlos.
Not yet. I'm still thinking.
I'd say Capcom.
That's my answer too. Capcom.
Yeah, so yep. Capcom. So Capcom was the first that came to my mind, but then I thought. So do we consider the people that make Monster Hunter and Street Fighter the same? Just technically the same.
Well, it's all under the same umbrella.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah. Because I that's a good question because it did say game developer, not publisher. You're correct about that. But I kind of put them all under the same umbrella for Capcom. You know,
and also, no further evil references.
Yeah,
and they were. There was cross-team collaboration for Wilds.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, they were pulling people off of different teams. Could have been from Street Fighter, Resident Evil, whatever. So they're all under one umbrella, as far as I'm concerned. You may have a team for Street Fighter and a team for Monster Hunter, a team for Resident Evil, teams for Mega Man, whatever. But they're all under the same roof, right? You know?
Yeah.
Nintendo's a publisher and a developer. Their development teams, the intelligent systems and all that, they're all Nintendo. It's all the same.
Yeah. For me, obviously, you know, Monster Hunter, Wilds, Street Fighter VI, especially Street Fighter VI. I've been playing that the most out of any Capcom game. And then we got Resident Evil 9 coming. We got Pragmata is also coming as well. So Capcom's cooking, you know. And obviously, they released those fighting game collections, which I've been a big fan of. Capcom's the shit, man. You know, and it makes me very happy. What happened? Oh, deep down. That's right. Yeah, we're still waiting. Capcom's just, you know, they're great. And it makes me happy because, you know, they used to be my favorite back in the day, you know, back during the 90s. That was my favorite publisher developer. So it's good to see them, you know, come back around like that. Because remember, there was a few years where they were a Crapcom, you know. Throwdown was around for that era, you know, when they were like, oh, let's try to be like Western developers. That didn't work out so well, you know. Capcom for me and Chris for sure. What about you, Manny?
Oh, who's the ones that are developing that new Marvel game?
The beat-em-up
that's coming out
soon. Dotemu is the publishing it. Who is the developer?
Dotemu is a publisher.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they did the Ninja Turtles beat-em-up not long ago.
Yeah, Shredder's Revenge.
Tribute Games. Tribute Games, there you go. Yeah, those guys are cool. I like those guys.
Yeah. All right, Carlos, you got an answer now?
I mean, if Chris's criteria works, then Capcom it is for me as well. It's not even close.
Oh, yeah. No. They're cooking. It's not Ubisoft?
I mean, maybe a couple of decades ago, but definitely not. I mean, Ubisoft, People think they've been on the downturn the last year or so. I'm like, no, they've been in the downturn
for a
the
while.
Last decade.
Yeah, I would agree. Sorry, Adam. all right, Brian, what about you?
I have to go with the common answer of Capcom. And yep. it's again, like with you, Tony, I'm just very surprised by it. I mean, given this question 10 years ago, we all would have said it's not Capcom. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
But now here we are.
It's crazy, man. And Rich, what about you?
I think we can agree that Capcom is a unanimous answer for everyone. However, I want to say this, since they said right now.
Yeah, right
now. I'm not going to say anything else. Lizard Cube.
Ooh.
That's it. That's all I can say right now.
I like that answer. Good stuff, man. Yeah, that's a good one.
I thought you were going to say Firewalk.
Yeah.
No, they're gone, Carlos. They're gone.
Yeah, nobody said nobody said Nintendo.
They're gone, MacReady.
Yeah, nobody said, you know. Yeah. Nobody said Naughty Dog. like bananas. Oh, man. All right. Good stuff there. Next question here. I guess this is pertinent since Metal Gear Delta is coming out soon. What is your favorite Hideo Kojima game? And what is your favorite moment from that game? Now, Dio went ham. He's like your top five Kojima games. We're not going to go that crazy. So you can just pick one. If you want to pick two, that's fine. But you only really need one for this one. Manny, I'll go with you. What is your favorite Kojima game? What is your favorite moment from it? I was going to say Metal Gear. It's probably a Metal Gear game.
Yeah, I mean, I would go with, I mean, it's so difficult to say, but I always de facto to three in a week. Favorite moment in that, it's fun. There's a lot of favorite moments in there because there's such a lot of so many bits of feedback that you have in that game, like things that you can do, like that you wouldn't think you could do, but like work. So like, I mean, I guess the one of the big ones is that the fact that you could kill the end before you could actually fight him.
Yeah.
But there's also the fact that the end dies of old age if you don't come back to the game after like a month or a week. I think it's a week.
Yeah.
You know,
and you even get accused of beating him dishonorably.
Yeah, you get accused of beating him dishonorably because you just let him die. Like, it's like there's all those little things in that game. Like the fact that you could essentially knock out all of their food and ammunition, and essentially they're all walking around like instantly, like, oh man, I'm so hungry. Like, it's
hilarious.
Like, okay, it's hilarious. But yeah, definitely the fact that you could kill, you know, Metal Gear Solid 3, the fact that you could kill the end even before you even get to meet him.
Yeah, no surprise here. My favorite Kojima game is also Metal Gear Solid 3 because it's also my favorite game of all time. The thing that sticks with me for that game, I mean, there's a lot of crazy mechanical stuff in there, but the one that messed me up, and this is very similar to Metal Gear Solid 1 where, you know, you're watching the intro and shit. It's like, yo, this is crazy. Then the game starts, you're actually controlling Snake, and the credits are still rolling. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck? This is insane. I had a similar moment with Metal Gear Solid 3. It just says Metal Gear Solid 3, press start. That's it, right? Press start, intro, all that good jazz. You start playing it and shit. You know, you have the big betrayal or whatever. Then the credits start. You know, the Snake Eater and all that. I was like, what? That whole thing was just the intro? Like, that fucked me up.
Yeah, because it's the Virtuous Mission is not Snake Eater. Theoretically, it's the Virtuous Mission.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
The game doesn't actually begin until that initial thing happens. And then, yeah, now you're playing Snake Eater and you get the intro.
Yeah, then you get the intro. So, yeah, that's it for me. By the way, for this question, Dio said PT counts. Oh, man.
Oh. PT.
Yeah, he says PT counts. All right. Carlos, favorite Kojima game and favorite moment from that game?
I think my favorite Metal Gear game, because I didn't really play any other Kojima games other than that. Other than
you played Death Stranding, you know.
Yeah, that counts. That definitely counts. But I think I'll say Metal Gear 4.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't recall most of the moments. Only one I can recall is the Shadow Moses mission.
Oh yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
That's what Dio said was his favorite moment. Where you go back, you know?
Yeah, That one was probably the most epic of all the ones in that game. Even though there were some other moments that like at the end with was it Big Boss that was in it?
Oh, you're fighting
like in the cemetery. Yeah.
Yo, yes. That was epic. What about the giant robot battle?
That also, I want to mention with that game, I know I mentioned a lot of different things, but the cutscenes in that game were crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like I don't know if there was anything to that caliber beforehand, but everything was like, I don't know, it just looked like a movie.
Oh, so, yeah, no, it's crazy.
Shout out to Metal Gear 4. And shout out to the egg scene where they're, you know, like cooking eggs.
Oh, man. All right, Brian, favorite Kojima game and favorite moment from that game?
Here's one that will surprise you. I actually don't like any of them.
Really? Even Metal Gear Solid 4? I thought you liked that game.
Not really.
Oh.
I enjoy the small things he puts in those games. For example, how you had the camouflage suit and you'd camouflage into one of the statues and you hold one of the members and then they break. Again, it's really cool. It's really clever. But everything else about the game itself, I don't enjoy. And so I can't really answer this.
You didn't like the whistling mission, Brian?
No. Strangely enough, I just don't know why, because I thought I would enjoy it, but then again, I played four. Didn't enjoy it. I was really excited for Death Stranding until I seen the gameplay. I thought Death Stranding might be like a horror game. So I was thinking something along the lines of like a horror game mixed with like some like open world exploration type thing. But then I got what I got and I was like, oh, this is not what I wanted. But so yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I'm just not a fan of his games. Yeah. Again, there's going to be one out there that will excite me. Silent Hills was excited for, but obviously PT never came to fruition, so technically I can't say that. So yeah, can't answer this.
Dio said you could count it if you want.
Okay, I guess in the spirit of the question, PT.
Yeah, there you go. And I guess your favorite moment is, what would be your favorite moment from PT?
I think just the idea of the loop itself.
Yeah.
It's not really a moment. Okay, yeah, it is. Because it's the first time you go through that door and then you realize that you're in a loop. So yeah, that technically does count.
Oh, yeah. All right, good stuff. Chris.
All right, so I'm in agreement with you and Manny with Metal Gear Solid 3. My favorite moment and the moment that shocked me was the Volgan torture scene.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just, you know, Snake getting brutalized, Ocelot shot him in the eye, and it's one of those things where I look back at that scene and I wonder if he did that on purpose or it was an accident. I still don't know, but just the gravity of that scene, and Volgan's just lecturing him and just beating the ever loving shit out of him while electrocuting him at the same time.
That was intense.
And then, like, you know, afterwards, Ava patches him up and they plan out how to get to the Shagohod and everything. That scene was intense. There were so many good things in that game, but that stuck with the torture because it was insane. It put the one in two, not two, Metal Gear Solid, where Ocelot has Snake on the table and you get a heap hitting buttons to, you know, keep him awake. But that didn't have much gravity other than it felt like a stress test. Like, keep hitting buttons, you know, don't get electrocuted. This, you're watching it, it's like, it's very cinematic and it's...
Yeah, good stuff. And Rich, what about you?
Yeah, well, I think Snake Eater, definitely a lot of memorable moments because of the boss fights and encounters, the various ways you have to defeat the enemies. So I would say it's going to be hard for me to top that, but I will add in Metal Gear Solid 2 also, because there's a lot of things that happen in that game. Obviously, the ending is something I still think about, how the things switch up at the end. And of course, they had that whole mission failed thing that Kojima did with the that was pretty. I wasn't expecting that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's a good one. all right, let's move on here. Assyrian Air Force got a couple questions. And this one is the one I made the featured question, because this is probably the most contentious one. Will Sony and Microsoft ever collaborate on a crossover game featuring their existing franchises? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. Like, you know, like, because Helldivers is not a Sony franchise, is it? Like, because there's that collaboration.
It is a Sony franchise, but I mean, it also, like, I don't think you're going to see, like, things that don't make sense. Like, I don't think you're going to see, like, Nathan Drake running around on fucking Gears of War.
Yeah, I don't think so, yeah.
But it would make more sense if you did have a Hellgast on it in a Halo game. But I don't think, to be honest, I don't think it's going to go back. Like, in other words, I don't think you're going to see Sony things in Xbox games, but I think you're going to see Xbox things in Sony games.
Could be interesting. Shout out to Brett, who just showed up. I think they should do a collaboration between Gran Turismo and Forza. You know, it's like just cars.
But I mean, it's like what about each of those games says besides the control says it's
anything. Nothing. Yeah, I know nothing. I'm fucking around. Like,
yeah, like it's like, hey, car game.
Yeah, car game. That'd be an easy one. No, but I honestly don't think it's gonna happen at all. I could be wrong, but it's like you said, Nathan Drake running or like Marcus Fenix and like, you know, God of War, you know, the GOW games, like, like that would be kind of wild. The other question is like, what kind of game would it even be? You know, are they going to make like a fighting game or something to have all these characters?
Crossover, sort of like a crossover game? I don't know.
Oh,
like,
not a brawler, man.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't need that. All-stars. No Nickelodeon shit. They
already
did shit.
That already.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah, like, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I think if you do a crossover game, like, what would that be? And then why even do something? You know what I mean? Like, is anybody chomping at the bit to, other than those cornerstone Xbox characters, is anybody really chomping at the bit to see any of them crossover with any PlayStation character?
Yeah, they're right.
Besides the things that make sense. Hey, armored guy in a gun or gun related game having a Gears of War guy show up. Okay, yeah. That makes more sense than you know, some of the other.
Yeah, what about the rest of you guys? You think it's going to happen?
No, like you guys mentioned, maybe like a cheap crossover to a multiplayer game or something like that. Like you mentioned, Helldivers.
I think, like Manny said, like a Hellgast armor and Halo, but I don't see anything beyond that.
No.
If they throw an Easter egg, it's like, oh, you find the Blades of Chaos in like Rise, Son of Rome, or some shit like that. But that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brett, you were going to say something?
I was going to say, I wrapped up the question, so I have no input.
Okay. Yeah. The question is, will we ever see Sony and Microsoft collaborate, bringing their franchises together in a game?
Oh, hell no.
Yep, there you go.
Exactly, bro, like Sony has gone so far as to preclude crossplay on generally crossplay games, and then when it does have crossplay on PlayStation, it'll be like the only one where it's by default turned off, and you have to dive into the network settings to like turn it back on. Like I see Microsoft being desperate enough to do that, but no way in hell is Sony picking up that phone call. No way.
Yeah, because I think the question is really because of the whole PlayStation's willingness to have their games on other platforms and the whole Helldivers thing. But I think you're right. You're going to see a Helldivers like situation where you have Halo armor in a within a Sony game, but not the other way around. I don't think that's going to happen at all. You know,
well, was Helldivers developed by Sony? I don't think it was it?
No, they published it.
I think that's the difference that you're going to see. You'll see Sony published games appearing on other platforms, but like, I don't know if you're even going to see the Sony, like...
The thing is, despite them being the publisher, they are also the owner of the franchise. So somebody else is developing the game, an external studio that they don't own. They're publishing the game. So they theoretically own it, but don't.
See, and Sony's in a lot of weird places like that. Like they...
I mean, that's not unheard of. I mean, Uncharted was like that before they, you know, picked up Naughty Dog or anything like that. So it's not like... You know, it's not that off, you know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's tough because like Sony doesn't really have a whole lot of pure franchise anymore. I mean, like they have like Uncharted, they have The Last of Us, they have God of War. But like Spider-Man's a Sony IP. It's not it's Sony Pictures IP. It's not Sony Games IP. And don't they keep that shit pretty separate? Like, don't they run them like separate companies?
No, well, Sony, the the games on some PlayStation, you know, the deal with the games is actually different than the deal with the film. So that's okay. Why when they,
then that's Spider-Man why when is they, a Marvel property.
Spider-Man's a Marvel property, but Sony Pictures has the rights to do films. They don't PlayStation and Sony in general doesn't have the rights to do games. They have to make a separate deal, and that's what the Spider-Man video game was. That's why when we had Spider-Man films that were coming out, there were obviously Sony films, but they had Activision doing those games. It's that type of idea. They didn't have the right to, so PlayStation didn't have the rights to do the games until, you know, fairly recent.
Okay, well, so does that mean that, like, in the, okay, so that actually kind of runs into my point, and like, so in the video game world, like, they don't really own the IP of Spider-Man in the video game world. They're borrowing it from Marvel.
Yeah.
And then they're Marvel's, publishing yeah. things it's, where they do own the IP. I don't know, man. It's
well, yeah, they it's a weird thing because it's like the so a good example, like for Death Stranding 2, right? Now Kojima owns the rights to Death Stranding. He was able to purchase the rights from fairly recently. Death Stranding 2 is coming out through PlayStation, is being published through PlayStation, but Kojima owns the rights to Death Stranding. So theoretically, it's not a Sony game anymore.
Yeah, and I think that alone is going to make it. It would make it a nightmare to try and get Sony games on any other platform because you'd have to renegotiate all over again for multiple platforms because
that's how it usually goes. Like that's the way film works. You have to renegotiate whenever you bring things to other. You know, whenever you bring things to other platforms, you do have to renegotiate with either ones and already, regardless.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sony's not going to like renegotiate their deal with Marvel on Spider-Man so that they can have Spider-Man appear in a fucking Marvel game. Like that shit ain't going to happen.
Or Xbox.
You'll see Easter eggs. Yeah, I think like I could agree with that. You'll see. I think that'll be more of a studio to studio.
Yeah.
I think that they'll reach across the aisle sometime. But that'll just be like, hey, you know, like that Helldivers studio, you know. Really likes God of War, and they kind of reached out to them, and they wanted to do like a little crossover or something. Or like they really like Halo, and so they reached out. I don't even fucking know when. Microsoft, their IP. Here's the thing: on both sides, like IPs, like nobody has a good IP anymore that they can really lean on. They haven't either just bled to death or washed out, like. Honestly, on Microsoft or Sony side, I've been kind of going back and forth with this. Like, Microsoft, dude, everything that you own is older than my imaginary kids, right? Like, and Sony doesn't purely seem to own a whole lot that they're branded with. Like, yeah, they're branded with Spider-Man, but, like, that's still Marvel's thing. They got God of War, and so maybe God of War is the answer.
We had an entire game, entire brawler game filled with PlayStation characters, so they have a lot. They have, you know, Sly Cooper and all those other guys.
All those games.
That's not my point. My point is they have a lot of characters to pull from, you know.
And exactly. Yeah. So does Microsoft. But again, Sly Cooper is old enough for my imaginary kids to have forgotten.
Yeah. Well, Microsoft technically, like, you know, historically, now they have. I'm sorry, like they have more now, obviously, but historically. The only characters Microsoft ever had was Master Chief, Gears of War, and a car. You know, they have more now, obviously.
A car, a cat, and a good game either.
Yeah, but I mean, what did Sony have? Sly Cooper, Crash Bandicoot.
Jack and Daxter.
Ratchet and Clank,
obviously. Yeah.
I mean, these were all very different eras.
Brett, what's the argument that Sony doesn't have enough franchises or that all their franchises are old? What's the argument here?
What I'm trying to say is they don't have any relevant mascots. How's that? Neither side has any relevant mascots. They're either old or washed out or the grace has been used up in them. Like, nobody has, like, they couldn't make a brawler today with characters that an 14 to 18 year old would know shit all about because they haven't been doing anything. This is the problem when you recycle the same crap for 20 years.
Yeah, but can't they make those characters relevant again by releasing this theoretical game?
I mean,
they could.
Like Astro, like kind of like what Astrobot sort of did for a lot of the franchises, the Sony franchises and a lot of the other classic franchises that were in it. Where it essentially started piquing people's interest because it's like, okay, this character hadn't existed for a while, so we're starting to get more sales in this game that this character is from.
Real quick, Assyrian Air Force says,
isn't it,
Go ahead, Brad. Sorry. Go ahead.
Isn't Ninja Gaiden doing that right now?
The Ninja Gaiden is back. They have the 2D game, and then Ninja Gaiden 4 is dropping. By the way, Certain Air Force says Infamous and Prototype. Prototype is not a PlayStation thing. That's Activision. I'm stupid. Prototype, Activision. Who owns Activision? Yeah, I guess they could have that.
Xbox.
There's their crossover.
They can literally cross those over.
Yeah.
Trying to dive in and like, this is a weird thing whenever I have these kinds of discussions now. People like dive in, they're like, oh, I'm going to name every good Sony game there ever was. I'm like, that doesn't make them a fucking mascot, right? Infamous was a mascot for a minute before they hammered that shit into the ground and no longer has good graces. Nobody wants to play a fucking Infamous game anymore.
Nobody wanted
to play Infamous 3. The only two, they want to play 1 and 2. And again, that shit's a fucking decade old, right? Like, I guess I could go, let's say that there wasn't a new Ninja Gaiden coming out, right? Could I go back and say, oh, Ninja Gaiden's a Microsoft mascot? Would that fucking make sense? No, because that shit hasn't played in like a decade or so.
But what about right? when it does drop? We literally have a new Ninja Gaiden game, like not only now, but another one coming in a few months, you know?
I know, and that's what makes that shit relevant. That's what I'm saying. Like, you do need to reinvent that shit.
Yeah. So,
right now, we don't have enough of those things that have popped off. Like, cool, we got Ninja Gaiden going, right? What's Ninja Gaiden going to cross over with? What Sony IP is Ninja Gaiden
going to cross Tsushima. Over with? Ghost of
Tsushima. Actually, that's a really good idea.
There you go.
That's a really good idea. They should do that.
Or Brett, if you want to go, if you really want to go, stick with the whole like otherworldly shit, cross Ninja Gaiden with Bloodborne.
But Bloodborne's old news now. Like,
but again, it doesn't matter. Wait, dude, go on Twitter. Motherfuckers are still asking for that remake. People want it, man. Again, I don't think a franchise being old precludes it from being part of a collaboration, you know? Like, I see what you're saying. It's like, that would make it better. But it's like, all of these fucking franchises are old, like you just said. So, fuck it. Bring them. Make them new again, you know? By the way, this all
through... Collaboration has to be relevant, though. Like, new. Like, maybe that's just me from my, like, Saturday morning 80s kids cartoons and shit. Like, the crossovers always... They didn't have to make sense. It was just too... You're like, why did He-Man and fucking G.I. Joe do a crossover? Who fucking cares? They're trying to sell more toys. But both things are popular right now. And that's what Fortnite's doing. But, like, I don't know that there's enough, like, mascot or known IPs to, like, really... do a lot of crossover, but
you're absolutely right. It would just be The Last of Us versus Gears of War, if you want to talk about the relevant franchises. Ninja Gaiden, Shinobi doesn't count. That doesn't belong to Xbox or PlayStation. That would be a good crossover though, but that doesn't belong.
I got a crossover.
Yeah. No, Ninja Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden is coming to everything though, just to be fair. So we should know.
I got a crossover.
Oh, what happened, Brett?
Doesn't Ninja Gaiden belong to Xbox?
I'm not
sure. Am I doing that Team Ninja thing again?
There was a point where there were Ninja Gaiden games exclusive to Xbox, so you're not wrong there technically, but the newer ones are available on everything, you know?
Yeah, but is it...
Who owns? Xbox doesn't own Tecmo, obviously. So no.
Okay. Yeah. That's. I'm always thinking Team Ninja, Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, it happens.
I don't know why my brain does that.
Ninjas. Go ahead, Rich.
I think what Tony meant to say is Xbox owns nothing now. So there you go. Yeah, Ninja Gaiden 4 will be on everything.
Yep.
It'll be on everything except the Nintendo Switch, of course.
Yeah. But again, fun little. Exercise there, but it's not gonna happen. All right, let's next up here another one from a Syrian Air Force. I think we may have answered this one before, but since you know we don't have a lot of questions tonight, fuck it. What is the rarest game in your collection? He goes, his is X-Men Origins Wolverine for PS3. I don't know if that's that rare. I own that shit.
It's rare now because the prices have gone up.
Yeah.
Both Deadpool the game and X-Men like really high on eBay right now.
Okay, so I guess that might be my answer too. He goes, by the way, have you all seen the price of NBA Elite 11 for PS3 or Xbox 360? It's around $15,000. That's crazy.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Brad, I'll let you go first. You've answered this one before, but I like your answer. Your rarest game.
Oh, my rarest game is an original first edition gold Legend of Zelda Breath.
There you go, man.
The NES.
That's baller shit. I'll go to Chris next as Manny's eating.
Yeah, I also have the gold original NES cards for Zelda and two.
Nice. I didn't know they made a gold one for two. That's cool.
Yeah, they did. Yep. And there's, let's see, what else? I have a few things. I have a box copy of Drill Dozer as a Game Freak.
Nice.
Was that from your time when you were still at Nintendo?
Yeah, I got it. They used to, internally, they used to have like sales of stuff, and I picked up a few rare things. I think I got Metroid Zero Mission rare.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I'm going to answer for Rich, a physical copy of Concord.
Oh, do you have a physical copy of Concord? That'd be crazy.
Nobody has.
Nobody does. Yeah. But yeah. Rich, you go next. What's your real answer? What's the rarest game you have?
Well, I have a very disappointing answer. I also did have the gold Zelda game back in the day, but unfortunately, I have not saved any of that stuff. You know, whenever there's a new generation, that's it. On to the next one. So I don't go back. I haven't gone back to any of the older stuff I've had. No PlayStation 3, nothing, unfortunately. But yeah, I used to have a lot of this stuff. Used to get this stuff when it came out, the collector stuff, but not anymore. Everything is digital now for me.
Yeah. My answer is the same one I always give, Panzer Dragoon Saga. You know, that's worth a pretty penny, but I'm never going to sell that shit, you know? One of the very last Sega Saturn games, that and Burning Rangers. Like, if you have those, man, sit on those motherfuckers, you know? Brian, what is the rarest game you own?
I have a sealed copy of Super Mario 3D All-Stars.
Oh, wow. Oh, shit.
Damn.
That's baller.
Yeah. After I heard that Nintendo was not going to sell it after a while, I thought, you know what, I'll get that, and it will sell for a lot in the future. So I am keeping that sealed in a location that I cannot divulge.
Oh, man, if you tell somebody that, you have to kill them. Yeah. All right.
Maybe you already did.
Oh, excuse me? Yeah, what about you, Carlos?
So, Brian, I think I have that. Uh-oh. I don't have it sealed, though. The 3D All-Stars pack for the Switch. I don't remember where I left it, but I don't know which one's considered rare in my collection. Like, I think of Lost Odyssey. I would think that one is kind of rare, maybe. I have that game, all three discs. Like a Halo 3 special edition type thing. I have a lot of weird, like, just random, well, not random, but like a different generational games, like Street Fighter 2 on the SNES.
Yeah, I don't know if that's rare though.
Yeah, I don't think that's rare, but it's like really old. I don't know if people still keep those types of games.
No, some do.
Yeah, so I don't know what's considered rare. That's the only thing. But I do have a collection of different types of games. I have Metal Gear 4. I have Shadow of the Colossus on PS2. Like, I wonder if those are rare by any, you know, comparisons to other ones.
Yeah, and Manny, what about you?
3D Dot Game Heroes. That's an incredibly rare game.
Oh, I have that
you
one
have
too.
That game too.
Yep.
I also have it. Shit, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yes, Brett, you have it.
Damn, yeah.
It is a very rare game. That one, I think mine might still be sealed. I can't remember. I know I own it. Let's see what else. If the original printings of Eco, because that game did not do very well.
Oh shit.
That's good.
So didn't do very well. And then like as far as older games, like the older games like for Nintendo and stuff, I have a lot of the main ones, you know, like, but I don't really have anything that's like the Zelda cartridge. I never cared for that. But blasphemy, I never cared for the Zelda franchise I played it. I'm like, I don't want to play this game. So yeah, so I don't own any of those. But yeah, definitely 3D. What was that?
It's over.
I'll let this one slide. It's fine.
He's cool. I have respect for him.
The way you said it is funny, Ben.
But yeah, I
got respect for him. Yeah,
I still got respect for you.
And you know, also I do have. I actually bought it fairly recently.
Excuse me?
Before everything. before everything started, before the prices of them started exploding all over the place. But yeah, I actually bought it like right before all of that craziness with the when Deadpool the game and Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine started exploding on eBay because everybody wanted to play a fucking X-Men, play a fucking Wolverine game and a goddamn Deadpool game. Stupid ass Microsoft, wake the fuck up and put those goddamn games out.
You know? Yeah, you own them, put them out.
Yeah, you got Activision, you own the code, you can get them shits working.
Yeah,
just take that PC version and then the PC versions of both those games. In fact, the Deadpool game got put out on Xbox One, the Xbox One. So that's a more recent one. There's a PlayStation 4 version of the Deadpool game, X-Men Origins Wolverine. You could just convert the port the PC version and get that running for the modern. And there you go.
Yeah, good stuff. all right, man. Move on here. Got a couple more here from Illustrated. Deal sponsored by Romudeath. Very, very generous of you, sir.
Mr. Romulan.
This one's kind of interesting. I don't know why he asked it this way, but sure. What type of games or genres do you want to see Eastern developers work on? For me, I want to see Bloodborne Remaster or a full-on Symphony of the Nights. I don't know.
What, like, it always rolls back to...
Oh,
like,
I got my answer. Never mind. Capcom, you've been doing well, but there's one franchise you're missing. Give me that motherfucking Mega Man. No. Mega Man. We got Darkstalkers recently. Mega Man's been out for a while. You know, it's been... When the fuck did 11 come out? It was a while ago. You know, that was a long time ago, you know?
PS4?
Yes. Yeah, it was. So... Mega Man 12, please, Capcom, please. You know, then you'll fully be back. Yeah. What about the rest of you guys? Chris, I said this was a Symphony of the Night sequel he wants.
That's a weird one. Yeah. Like, why does it need a sequel?
He wants a sequel. I don't know. He just...
It was already a kind of a sequel to Rondo.
It was already a sequel.
Yeah.
And then it kind of already had a sequel to it.
Yeah, and then, but here's the thing, because I kind of shortened it. He did make some stipulations on what he wants to see in it. Let me see if I can find it. Here we go. Symphony of the Night sequel. Character action with level traversal and platforming puzzles with unique battle interactions similar to that of Mega Man, using particular weapon effectiveness battle tactics to eliminate bosses. Okay. It's interesting.
Wants to make it into a Mega Man game.
I guess, yeah.
Bro, there are like 30 games on Steam that fit that description.
Well, I was just about to say that. That's a crowded space now.
Yeah. Like,
where Symphony of the Night, I mean, innovated, that's the whole Metroidvania. People have taken that ball and I don't know how successful that's.
I like Otaku Man's answer. He just always get the new Bloodstained if you want that game.
There you go.
I wasn't being a dick. I mean it. Like, literally, like,
you're right.
That's an area that's full of a lot of space. Like, there's some really good games in that area. Even just like fucking, have you played Dead Cells yet? If you haven't, I highly recommend it. If you like Metroidvania style games, and they have
a Castlevania pack in it, right?
Yeah, going on right now. Or not right now, but I think that was their most recent update. So if you haven't tried the Dead Cells Castlevania kind of crossover update, you might really enjoy that.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Anything else you guys want to say from, you know, I guess for the most part, you know, from any of your favorite Japanese studios, but you could throw in some Korean or Chinese ones in there.
It's, I mean, funny, we're all because I... Elden Ring 2.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I'm waiting for Bloodborne 2. Let's get that going. From, in fact, what, Sony already owns a bunch of stock in the studio that owned you. Let's get that going. I don't know, but to be honest, I kind of don't. We're all of what's going on now, It's all just replaying the hits. And I'm not saying I'm getting sick of it, but I'm like, let's get some new shit out there. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're making something, you know, sequel game number 7 or the sequel game number 20 or remake game of a franchise. I kind of want to see some new shit.
No, I agree.
You know?
Yeah. I
like the idea of Pragmata just for the plain fact that it's something new. It's not just say, hey, look, we're doing the 20th Resident Evil game, which obviously that's the goat that makes the money. But like, come on, let's get some more shit out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I think I would like Square Enix to make a turn-based mainline Final Fantasy game again.
There you go.
Also, thank you. Would like, hopefully they're inspired by Expedition 33.
Position.
Dude, that's what I was thinking. Because I've been saying for a long time that like you could use the like crazy cinematics and still do turn-based, and everybody, word of God, not here. But most people are like, oh, I can't do turn-based anymore, man. Like, it's that Final Fantasy.
Oh, no, I think we're past that. The Persona games and, you know, the Expedition 33 have proven turn-based is very viable. Square Enix, Dragon Quest, that old excuse is no longer viable. Let's get a motherfucking turn-based Final Fantasy. Let's go.
Fuck yeah.
Yep. It's time to get back to the roots. Also, I have a request for Chinese developers to name their game something other that starts with a W.
Woo, you know, everything's a woo this, woo that. And I also beg Chinese. Hey, go ahead, Brett.
It helps in the Steam library is all I'm saying.
It does.
And I also beg Chinese and Korean developers to stop making Souls-likes. Like, stop it. We're done. You know? It's like...
Do y'all's own thing. Like, you guys do that, like, crazy, like, Stella Blade shit over there, right? Like, lean into that. Right, lean into that anime vibe. Let Japan do the Soulsborne thing.
Yeah, and even Stellar Blade still has a good chunk of Souls-ish stuff in there. But I agree, that's moving in the right direction. You know.
Yeah, well, look, like that stuff's going to disseminate into the rest of the video game industry. Like they're going to, you know, thankfully, actually, you know, I don't think difficult video games are back necessarily, but I think that. Having video games that are inherently easy and then just turning up the difficulty on them makes everything a bullshit damage sponge. I think those days are kind of getting harder, coming to a close, because like now, you know, people realize players want a challenge, and if you can't provide them an actual challenge, they're going to move on. So I think that's good. But one of the things I've noticed about like Chinese and Korean games especially is they're flashy, they're quick, they're snappy, they're that anime opening vibe. Right, like where everybody's fucking Goku Super Saiyan 3 fighting, right? Like it's a dope thing, and like you guys have really seemed to get the action game, like this almost kind of otherworldly fast thing down, and that's tough to do without feeling floaty or weird. So like honestly, I'm painting with real broad strokes here. Obviously, you know, you can't just be like, oh, all Korean developers are good at this, but like it seems to be the specialty. And you see it in a lot of the MMOs they put out, and taking that knowledge and putting it towards single player games, I think has been a big success in the West. And they're starting to realize that they're like, oh, well we've been doing this gotcha shit forever. But if we actually like make a game that starts with Woo and is a single player game, it turns out they'll buy that too.
All right. Anybody else? All right. No more answers. So we'll go to, the next one. Okay. So typically I would have erased this question. Because you're already going to know my answer, because we keep having to answer this every 6 months or so. But since we need to fill up time, I will answer it again or ask it again. Even if you're going to get my same curmudgeonly answer. Which video game franchise deserves a live action adaptation? I'm just going to give my answer. Stop it. No more. End it. Stop doing that shit. So. But if anybody else has any other ones,
I agree with that.
Yeah, stop it. You're done. Yeah. It's fucking trash.
I have an answer you're not going to like.
Fallout, they have that already.
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, which one?
Nope.
Good.
I think if, and I'm going to put the asterisk at the front of the sentence. Okay. I think if they did an authentic, almost shot for shot kind of remake, they could do Resident Evil.
The first game?
Yeah. First game leading into the second game.
They got dogs.
They do have dogs.
Yeah. Like I don't know about all the parasite stuff, but one leading into two.
So even the puzzles, you're gonna film all the puzzle stuff?
Not necessarily the puzzles, but like them figuring out the puzzles in almost make it half detective, half horror, right? And then the second season opens up into more of a Last of Us style kind of, you know. Again, trying to figure out what went on, what's going on, but like there was an element of mystery solving to the first couple of games. Why not bring that in? Why not you know, you had multiple characters in most of the games. Like, you probably have to, like, bring in a new character to kind of play as the character or somebody else that they're talking to. But, like, even, like, the idea of, like, yeah, we have enough shows like fucking Lost and shit like that where they're, like, trying to figure out, like, we find the red gem, right? Like, that'd be some, Knives Out is a fucking huge hit. So, yeah, like, searching around in a decrepit manor looking for a red gem to put this left eye of a statue while zombie crows are breaking through the windows, I think would make for good TV, genuinely, if they could do it right. I don't know if they could do it right, but, like, if they could, it could be dope.
I lean towards the Brett reasoning with this because it really depends on who's making it. If someone says Denis Villeneuve is going to make the next Mass Effect movie, I'm all in. I don't care what anyone says. it really depends. But if so-and-so, just a random person who has a bad track record, is making a really, really popular video game adaptation, then I'm like, we'll see. But it's probably not going to be good. So it really depends.
So I like to make two comments on this. First, to go to Brett's point, I think that's a great idea. I don't know if it's going to be a TV show, but I do know there is a movie coming by the guy who directed Weapons. And this guy actually played the games and talked about the puzzles. Shit. Yeah. He talked about the puzzles. He talked about a lot of, because he didn't watch any of the actual movies that have been made of Resident Evil. He just played all the games, so that should be very interesting. Yeah, I think
that's why I was like, don't watch the movies, only play the game.
so that could be interesting. And the other comment I was going to make is directed at Carlos and Chris, because they did tell me off camera they need to see a Concord movie or TV show. So there you go. Rich. There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Rich, yes. I know you're saying it as a joke, and it's a funny that, you know, if people laughed, you know, you heard the laughter. But if you tell me Christopher Nolan is working on a Concord movie, I'm buying my tickets day one.
Oh, man.
Well,
oh, man.
Chris Nolan wouldn't adapt something like garbage like that.
Hey, man, I've seen.
He says, I'll do Batman. Okay, Batman makes sense. But if he said, like, hey, a failed game that didn't exist, I probably wouldn't be one of his alley.
That man can make diamonds out of turds.
Yeah, but By the way, Concord did have a TV show. Ooh, in fact, yeah, more people, you can still watch it, unlike playing the actual game. You can watch it on Amazon right now. The
sequel. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so that's the most readily available Concord thing out there, including the trailers, by the way. You could watch all those trailers.
Okay, I got a counter question, since we kind of, you know, a lot of answers here have been like, well, you know, depending on who makes it, I'll watch just about anything. All right. I'm gonna call your bluff. Is there any director that you would buy tickets for Fortnite the movie day one?
Listen, man. Yes. I think Carlos. I think I've determined that you are definitely more hardcore than I am, because I, you know, my three top directors at the moment are Nolan, Villeneuve, and James Cameron. If those guys made a Fortnite movie, you would not see me watching that shit. Fuck that.
We're two halves and not of the same side of the coin. I'm definitely watching those. Damn. It's those three at this moment. Let's say maybe Denis in 20 years, you know, gets bad at directing movies for some reason, then maybe that'll change. But as of today, as of right now, on TV, that I'm saying yes. I don't care. Yeah.
No, listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying, even for me, I draw a line. I don't care if it's my favorite director. I'm not watching some fucking Fortnite shit or some franchise I don't give a fuck about. It's like, that doesn't make any sense, you know?
And trust me, James Cameron.
I was just seeing, like, how extreme. Like,
yeah, no, Carlos has proven to, you're really about that life, bro. And I respect it, you know?
Yeah, respect, bro. Respect. Yeah,
I respect it.
I haven't been led astray, man. I'm in the same phase Brian was like 5 years ago with CD Projekt Red.
Excuse me.
That's where I'm in right now. They have not done me wrong.
So let me ask another question of Carlos.
They released a broken game.
No, he says five years before that. You know, he's talking about the Witcher era. Go ahead, Rich.
So Real fast, Carlos, that's a very good answer. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you still watch that movie if Pedro Pascal is also a part of the movie?
Yeah. I mean, people don't dislike Pedro Pascal because of his acting. They hate him because of the culture wars. That's the reason why they hate him, and because he's in everything.
Those are good answers, by the way. The stupid shit he says on Twitter all the time, and that he's in everything. He was gonna be in Weapons, bro. Like this guy said,
that's
crazy.
Character,
right. Honestly, I could see Fortnite the movie starring Pedro Pascal being a thing.
If
it's James Cameron, there's gonna be five of those bitches.
Oh shit, you know, and they're gonna take 20 years to come out. You know, because he needs to go back to the Titanic during halfway through. You know, it's like, all right, bro. James Gunn's Concord. You're crazy.
No. Well, I mean, they were trying to be a James Gunn film.
Yeah,
you know, that's true. The way that trailer was.
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly, I know you guys don't like this. Like, James Gunn is one of the few directors, like, I'll give a chance on most things because he's taken a bunch of like. Original Guardians of the Galaxy, did not give a shit about. Original Suicide Squad, did not give a shit about. He's managed to pull around a lot of characters. I'm like, I really haven't cared. Like, dude made me care about Polka Dot Man. So, like, I don't know. He's one of those more, the weirder the idea that you attach to James Gunn, the more I'm like, okay, I'm curious to see where this goes. Just because motherfucker takes, like, Polka Dot Man and makes it interesting, right? Hmm. Like, it's... Still would watch a Fortnite movie from him, though.
Yeah, I mean, James Gunn is great, and I really like him as a director. But he's not at that level with the GOATs right now. So he does not fall within that category.
I don't even think he's the GOAT. He's just particularly good at taking lame or weird adaptive material and turning it into something. Like, I love Peacemaker, and Peacemaker was I had no idea Peacemaker was even a character before Suicide Squad. So like here you go, here's a cast of characters that nobody has ever heard of or cared about, like, okay, he has a particular ability to kind of bring back dead or stupid franchises. No offense to, you know, fans of the original Guardians of the Galaxy comics.
Yeah, all right, any other? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mentioned those, you know, it's only three directors. I mean, maybe Tarantino would fall in there, but I don't even know what the hell he's doing right now. So,
something with feet.
Yeah,
he's busy writing the sequel to.
There's a sequel?
Yeah, it's coming out on Netflix. It's a series. It's going to be directed by the director of Fight Club.
No, what's
David Fincher?
David Fincher.
David Fincher. Yeah.
Wait, didn't he die?
Holy shit!
No, David Fincher's still alive.
Dude, there's a lot of big names moving to streaming platforms, like.
David Fincher did another film before this, which with Michael Fassbender, where Michael Fassbender plays like an assassin. It was actually pretty good.
I think of David Lynch.
David Lynch.
Yeah, David Lynch is dead. David Fincher is the director of Fight Club and Seven. You know, what was the movie about the Zodiac Killer?
Alien 3.
Alien 3 was his one that he was just pissed off about because he kept fucking with it. Yeah. Makes good film.
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't matter what the franchise is. None of those guys could save any of that shit. It's already like, why would you, like Denis Villeneuve on fucking Fortnite? Really? He wouldn't even touch that shit. None of those guys would touch any sort of franchises. They would go with something a little bit more high, you know, not a little bit more high, a little bit more, a little bit more than just a pure, you know, popcorn slash, not popcorn. What do you call it? Just modern media nonsense. You know what I mean? But then again, Steven Spielberg made fucking, the Ready Player One. So who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe when they're washed up, they'll do their version of Ready Player One.
Yeah. I mean, if you would have set Steven Spielberg in his prime, then he would have fit in this category. But not after, you know, this Spielberg has been hit or miss for like the past two decades.
It's a weird one because he'll have a good one and then he'll have he'll crash and burn on another one. So, like, you know, I'm glad that he's still making films. I mean, all those other guys, like a lot of them have already retired, at least from his era.
All right. Any other answers here?
I actually have a few answers, which I think are going to be good. First, I'd say that Skyrim should be a TV show because it's already close enough to Game of Thrones as is. And Game of Thrones has kind of normalized the whole idea of fantasy dragons. So I think you could get away with that. And I think Brett might be nodding.
I think Brett doesn't like...
There we go. Yeah. And one I've been saying for at least a decade now, Michael Bay, Call of Duty. That's
it. Adam would like that.
Like, I don't know why no one else has suggested that. It's a perfect pairing. The guy loves his guns. Call of Duty is just guns and explosions for 8 hours.
And it's patriotic. He loves patriotic stuff.
Yeah, throw in a bunch of American flags, some slow motion, some 360 shots. There you go.
By the way, Brian, for your answers, I'm assuming that they don't have The Message, right? Just to be sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that's the reason I don't want any of these, because they're going to have the fucking message. I'm like, I'm good. I don't need that shit. Anyway, go on.
Mortal Kombat didn't have The Message.
Oh, it was just bad. Yeah. You know, because there's two things. Either you have The Message or it's just mediocre. Or both. Mortal Kombat was just fucking... The Mortal Kombat came out during the pandemic, Brett. Absolute garbage movie. Same thing with The Matrix, you know?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the game for a second there.
No. Like, we're talking about the Mortal Kombat. And now that shitty movie's getting a sequel, you know? Which is probably also going to be terrible. It's like...
I wonder if they're going to film it in more than one room this time.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, continue, Brian.
That's all I have, really. Honestly can't think of anything else. I was thinking of maybe some RPGs, but I don't think many of them would translate well at all to live action in any way, shape, apart from maybe Final Fantasy 15, really, because
that's a season of TV right there, you know, them driving around doing boy band shit, you know.
But yeah,
Yo, Carlos, one episode dedicated to fighting that turtle, you know?
Oh, that is that's a three episode arc.
Oh, man. All right. Anything else you guys want to say about this one? Popular topic. All right. Last one here. Jolly Yellow Nerd. There's another one we've covered before. Okay. What kind of video game would you like to see Superman in? Open world, action adventure, beat 'em up? Or something else. I'm going to give the same answer because, again, this is one of these words that keep popping up every once in a while. Superman's my favorite character ever, and he's a horrible video game character. It doesn't work in a video game because either he's so OP, you have to bring him down in order to, like, not just punch everybody to death, but then he's not really Superman. But if you play him as Superman, then there's no drama because he's a fucking Superman, you know? I will say the Brandon Routh Superman video game had interesting thing. The twist they did was Superman didn't have a health bar. Metropolis did. So you're saving Metropolis. So that's kind of an interesting thing. The answer I gave before, and I will keep giving it because it's the only way I could see a Superman game working, make it a Telltale game. You know, just some story driven thing, you know, that way you could kind of, you don't have to worry about action because Superman is just not a good video game character. So that's my answer. Like a Telltale game where, you know, kind of just Superman shit, you know. Go ahead, Brett.
I want to challenge your answer with my own, Tony.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, if you could debunk me here, I would love to hear it because that is the Gordian knot I've been trying to slice for decades. How do you make a good Superman game, you know?
I don't know if this is a great answer, but I'm pretty sure, I feel confident it's a good answer. You do it the same way they did with Goku.
Yeah, and that doesn't work, by the way, just throwing that out there. So Goku is very unsatisfying to play in every video game, but go on.
I don't think so. I think in the DBZ, any of the DBZ fighters, they all kind of follow the same lineage, like, I think that they're fun to play through. They're fun to play, like, the story mode through. They're not really a great, like, couch brawler or anything like that.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I mean.
They're fun to play through.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, look, like, you're not going to get, unless you start equipping other crazy metahumans and whatnot. And I think they've toned down Superman's strength in recent years. I don't think he's, like, Silver Age strong anymore.
No, he's not. Brett, I know you haven't finished your answer, but you're already kind of inspiring me. A game would kind of have to be a boss rush mode in a way. Like, if you like, you can't have them fighting that's grunts. That's stupid. You're right.
The DBZ games are, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, and I'm glad you said that, because when I'm thinking DBZ, I'm thinking about, you know, one-on-one fighting game, and I'm like, wait, Goku, how is Krillin credibly fighting Goku? This makes no fucking sense. You know, but you're right. But if you're playing something like Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, where you're just playing through the story, then that could work. But again, what kind of game would it be? Would it be an action game? Because you need to just constantly have something that's challenging to Superman, like Darkseid and Doomsday and shit.
Yeah, I think it would be the same thing. It would be almost like, to take the same blueprints for like a Kakarot game and apply them, like you would have lower grade metahumans fighting him when he was younger, and then, you know, the scale would power up until like he's eventually fighting like Darkseid and shit.
Bro, you just fucked me up right now. Start when he's younger.
Yeah.
I think you cracked it. Like it'll be a Superboy game, you know, but yeah, by the end, yeah, he could grow and shit. Because then if he's younger, then he can credibly fight like thugs and shit, you know, cannon fodder. It's a video game. You need cannon fodder, you know.
Like you start when his powers develop and he like has like, a group of kids at school, right? And then you go all the way up until you get to Doomsday.
Yeah, I like that. I never thought about that. I'm always thinking Superman. What about Superboy? Starts young. That's a good one. That is a great one, actually.
I think the idea of it being that the enemies are strong enough to handle Superman is actually a good idea.
Yeah.
Or in other words, none of the, like, if you look at another game that essentially the main character is a tank, but it's still fun for people to play. The RoboCop game, right? That game, nothing can really hurt RoboCop. Yeah. It's literally, but there are bosses and things that can essentially, you know, get him. And there's
Rogue City, no, you can get blasted by thugs. You have to upgrade RoboCop. Like, that game is not easy. You're constantly taking cover when you're playing as RoboCop. Like Adam could tell you too. I was shocked. I'm like, damn, RoboCop can't take a few rounds of.
Damn!
I didn't know that he had. They gave him an armor downgrade. There's probably some sort of plot reason. They have better guns.
Yeah, I mean, some of them have that. That rifle he had at the end. He shot Ed 209 with it. That crazy one they shot Kane with. Yeah, that they have that, and they have like heavy machine guns and stuff. But you have to keep upgrading him. But he's not. No, he's not a tank like in the movie.
He's not a tank. Okay, I thought he was a tank.
No, another thing, Tony, you could do is like they only in Superman games they only explore the Superman part. What if you did more of a, he has another side, right? They never explore Clark Kent being a journalist.
Yeah, well, that's why I was like, you can make it Telltale games this year, right?
I think you should talk to people. Does he approach the situation as Clark Kent or Superman or something like
that? Yo, Chris, check us out. So the gameplay will be part Batman Arkham Asylum, part L.A. Noir, son.
Yeah, exactly. I like that because, Arkham, like, you have some detective stuff. Like, Superman, I mean, as Clark Kent, he has all his powers. So it's like X-ray vision, all that stuff. So
like, that motherfucker's lying right now. You can see the heartbeat. Right? You know?
Yeah, that would be good. But and then you decide how you want to approach it. It's like, is Superman going to deal with this guy? Is Clark Kent going to just do something else? Like, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, what's up?
I have potential.
Yeah. I think Rich wanted to go first, and then you go.
Oh, go ahead, Rich.
Oh, no, I was going to say, that's a great idea, but I was just going to let Tony know, don't worry, we will see Superman again, because I'm pretty sure NetherRealm is going to make another Injustice. Then you'll see him.
But even in those games, it's unsatisfying. I'm like, how is Batman credibly beating up Superman with his fist? This is stupid, you know?
Is he smart?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, go on, Carlos.
I have a potential dumb question.
Uh-oh.
We're coming up with this hypothetical Superman game.
Yeah.
Is there any potential to incorporate Superman versus Mother Nature as a gaming mechanic?
Of course.
Would that be viable?
Yeah, why not? Again, if you have a game where Metropolis has a health bar, why can't you have like hurricanes or some other shit, you know? Why not? I say go for it.
Let's get this done.
Let's do it. We're making a Superman game right now, you know?
Let's just turn it to GPT,
yeah,
or Grok, or both.
Oh God, like the fucking like a mountain slide or some shit. Like, oh, what's Superman gonna do? You know, and then you can add some real shit. It's like, okay, Superman, you can save some people, but not all of them. Who are you gonna save? You know, that shit is crazy. Batman is using kryptonite, like in Batman or Superman, in the fucking stupid game, right? I guess they're all the heroes in Injustice are using kryptonite, then, right?
Well, man, no, I was thinking about that in terms of your thugs. Like, you did Lex Luthor, kryptonite field armor, and kryptonite bullets. There's your thugs.
Yeah, there was one Superman game I played that was very unsatisfying. Like, okay, like what makes me super? I'm just an asshole, you know.
I'm thinking about.
No, I mean, like, you just explain, like, oh, this has a kryptonite field, so it's like as he comes in for the punch, he loses strength. So like. It reduces his punch strength by like 50%. And that's why some of these guys can take a punch from Superman and just not immediately die.
Yeah. But you see, you're proving my point. It's like you have to bring Superman down, you know? That's what they do in a lot of these games.
Well, I mean, they do in the comics too. They're doing a story game. Like, that's part of Lex Luthor's thing is he's exploiting kryptonite, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's, he has an army of guys. Like, that's, whenever you fight him, he's in some fucking kryptonite powered bullshit anyway. Like, that's his thing. I'm the same way, like, you know, Joker gas is Joker's thing.
Yeah. But I guess then for the sequel, I'll be born. Oh, we're doing this with kryptonite again, you know? Because kryptonite's always been a stupid thing. I've never liked it.
I haven't either. That's why I think it should be relegated only to Lex Luthor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know? That's basically Lex Luthor's superpower is he has kryptonite.
Yeah, no, we don't need a remake of Superman 64, Serum Air Force. No, no, no. We do not need that.
No, we don't. But, you know, I do want to see a remake of... DC Universe, like, that actually was really cool because you got to make a character, and then in the game you got to go through like some training sims or something like that where you got to play as classic heroes, and like playing Superman in those was fun because it was like, hey, remember these big battles Superman's gone through? Well, now you can go through and play, and the flight mechanics in that game were like fucking chef's
kiss. The game's still around, by the way, Brett. It's still available.
I know, but it's old as fuck.
Yeah, they haven't updated the graphics on this shit.
No, it just needs remade at this point. Like, it's had too much slop and too much microtransaction and change hands. I mean, like, it's a vestige. Like, it's I'm sure I think a lot of MMOs get to that point. Like, after a decade, like, bro, just do another one. All right,
Brett, you're gonna find this funny. The game just came out on PS5 and Xbox Series X last year.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It came to PS5 on March 26, 2024, then to Xbox Series X in October of that year.
I don't know what they're starting doing. Or just make another game, you asshole. Like, I kind of feel like everybody who made the game left, and now it's just a skeleton crew that's like, we don't know how to do this. This is the technology of the ancients. We barely know how to maintain it. We cannot create more.
But and they're still updating it with new content.
Oh, are they?
Damn. Yeah. Let's see. When is the latest?
Not new graphics?
Yeah. So it's still a viable game, I guess. Yeah, the last episode came out September
24, 2024. Okay, maybe I'll check that shit out.
Yeah.
Like, that was genuinely one of the best MMOs I've ever played.
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
One of the best superhero games.
Yeah, remember City of Heroes, Brett?
Yeah, but I thought DC Universe did the same thing, but 10 times better.
Oh, it did. I'm just saying, do you remember it? You know, because that was the first one I played, you know? I think that was the first one anyone played. Yeah,
they had City of Heroes, and then they had City of Villains and DC was like, hold my beer.
Yep, no, DC did it, definitely took that and ran with it for sure. But, you know.
Yeah, and like, I loved how that game had like missions for like, you know, villains and then missions for heroes that would intercept the missions for heroes. Like, if you're a villain trying to do your missions, they send heroes, other players, to fucking stop you from completing your missions.
Yeah.
Which just felt, I'm like, man, like, this actually feels genuinely like a living, breathing superhero metahuman world. Like, so I don't know, man. I felt like they really did nail it. So I might go back and check that shit out.
There you go.
I still want them to make another one, goddammit. But I still might go back and check it out.
You can play it on Xbox. Yeah. All right.
Well, I can put that shit on Steam Deck at this point.
It is on Steam too, obviously. So yeah, give it a shot. Actually, the fucking game's on the original Switch. So maybe it should be able to run, you know, on the Steam Deck. I don't know if it's verified though, but it is on Switch. It's also rough on Switch. All right, man. That is the last question tonight, and we're done here. Another good show. So let's start plugging some stuff. Manny, I'll start with you tonight. What do you got coming up?
Well, what I got going is MGS Con, literally a week away. Next Saturday, I'm going to be out in California at the Ontario Convention Center in California. So, and I'll be there. Have a bunch of prints. If you're paying attention to my social medias, I've been posting all teasers for all the prints that I'm going to be having. Still going to be more stuff to come. I got a cool T-shirt that's going to be there, and also my book that I'm holding here in my hand, which is the Metal Gear MGS Con exclusive Solid Zero Subsistence, my little art book of all Metal Gear artwork, and that is this week. Also, a little something here. I think I showed this before, but yes, Power Rangers Prime number 9. You're into Power Rangers and all that stuff. Here's my special cover that I did, which is doesn't have any cover dressing. It's my pure artwork all there for you to see. My brother actually recently posted, sent me an image that he picked it up. I'm like, I was thinking to myself, man, these guys sent me enough things. I could have gave you one. Okay. Anyway, he went and bought it, so... is what it is. So yeah, that's what's going on. And obviously there's all these other things that are going to be coming up in the future, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Journeys number 2, which has a cover by Carf and myself, harkening back to the old 2003 series. We have just got announced is Blood and Thunder, which is a new series by Robert Kirkman. We just showed our new cover for those. We're going to be doing a few of those for Skybound, which is nice to be back with those guys again. Let's see what else. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff coming. So, I'll let you know.
Good stuff. All right, Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Yeah, so we are officially in Gamescom in PAX West season.
That's right,
ladies and gentlemen. So Gamescom is later this week. We have a couple of different things we're going to be working on around the time the show was happening, so on and so forth. So stay tuned for that. And, of course, after Gamescom, there will be quite a bit to talk about with some other stuff that we have been playing. One game I can say that I have been playing is Gears of War Reloaded. So I will have something to say about that in the future. But, obviously, I can't say. I can say I'm playing it, but that's all I can say. But, yeah, stay tuned. A lot of great gaming stuff on the way.
Gotta have something.
There you go. Yeah. All right, man, let's start wrapping up here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord and follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Grieve for Zod.
Oh, yeah, man. Terrence Stamp, man. And we lost another one, people. This is the year of losing some of our heroes. Manny, what are you doing? Iron Man. There you go.
Ah!
Good stuff. All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday. And yes, we will be covering some Gamescom, so that should be fun. And Rich and I may be able to talk about some games, man. That's all I'm going to say about that. So stay tuned. Later.